The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll by the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Jesus. The Lord be with you. Sometimes when we read from the Bible, we come across passages that, as you're reading it, you kind of get the sense that there's probably something you're missing as to why it was important. And that, I think, happens with this reading when Jesus returns home to Nazareth, goes to the synagogue, reads from Isaiah, and then says, "This is fulfilled," and everyone is amazed. Why was that so important, right? They read from Isaiah all the time. Why was it different when Jesus in that moment said to them, "This is happening now, fulfilled today"? So a little maybe backstory of that passage from Isaiah. The Jewish people had a custom every 50 years or so, they would celebrate what they would call a Jubilee year, which was a year-long, you could say, festival when many religious but also civic events would happen. And one of the things in a jubilee would be if you had any debt to anyone else, the debt would be forgiven. If you had to sell your property, the property would be returned. If you lost the family farm, for example, the family farm would be returned to their original owners. If you were maybe sold off into slavery, you would be set free. And so you can imagine a jubilee was a good thing, especially if you had lots of debt or had been sold into slavery. And it was basically a way of bringing a, you could say, a big reset to the society at large. Everyone forgave everyone. Now, what Jesus was saying, which is why it was important, was that the Jewish people knew that there would be a new jubilee, that the Messiah would begin. And the Messiah would also set everyone free. And Jesus, by saying that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him and that he was chosen to begin this new jubilee, he is saying effectively, he's the Messiah. So that's kind of why it was important. But the people are so happy in one second, but next week we're going to read this gospel, we're going to continue. And in the very next breath, the people get angry at Jesus. I'd like to give you a little foretaste of next week's homily. So let's put that on the screens, please, the passage from the Gospel of Luke, where it says, "All those in the synagogue heard this, and they were filled with fury." In paraphrasing, you could say they rose up to throw Jesus over a cliff. Jesus wasn't just a stranger. He grew up in Nazareth. That's a pretty big thing for them to decide to do to Jesus from one moment to the next. What was it that happened now? What are we missing here? Well, Jesus, as he announces the Jubilee and the forgiveness of sins, he then says something which they didn't want to hear, which was that the Jubilee was going to be for everyone, not just the Jewish people. It was going to be for the pagans and the Gentiles, which you could look at and say, well, gosh, what was so wrong with that? Why would you be so angry at God forgiving everyone? It's easy to kind of look to the past and sort of pretend like you're somehow better, right? That you wouldn't have done the same thing. But if we put ourselves in their shoes, we have to remember that they were a people that had suffered greatly at the hands of many Gentile pagan nations like Persia and Babylon. And now the Romans are there, and the Romans are making them suffer. They had family members who had been killed because of the Romans. They had seen their sisters sold off into slavery, and they've had been their families separated and torn apart. That's something hard to just want to forgive. The idea that God would choose not just them but everyone for forgiveness was unacceptable. So I think today, maybe if we bring this home, we can look into our own hearts. There's a few things for Christians to do that are very hard to do. Two of them come to mind. Right? To show up to church on Sunday morning, that's really not a big deal, right? That's kind of easy to do. I mean, we have over 200 hours in a week to give just one to God. I don't think we should walk around with too many, you know, merit badges for that. But something else which is very hard to do is to forgive someone who's hurt you deeply. It's just part of human living. Every one of us here, if you've lived long enough, you can probably think of someone or some people that in your life have done things to hurt you. And even though maybe you said it once, we realize as humans we have to say, I forgive you, over and over again. It's a long process to actually forgive. It's not easy. God gives us a lot of time, though. He's very gentle with us. Kids here. We have a lot of kids today in our pews. When I was your age, you've all met my brother Jason, right? Father Jason, who shows up occasionally. That guy, anytime there was snow on the ground, he could not stop throwing snowballs at me. Okay, now he's almost 3 years older than I am, and so he would always win the snowball fights, and I would always have ice balls kind of hitting me, and it was not fun. And I had to forgive him over and over again. Now, I wasn't perfect either. I got my revenge in different ways. I would outsmart him, but I don't want to give you any ideas, kids, of how to do that. But maybe one of your siblings sitting right next to you, maybe you need to tell them that you forgive them. Maybe on the way home today, it would make Jesus really happy to forgive, to say you're sorry. I said there were two things that were hard. The last one I want to mention today, or the second one, is simply this. It can be hard at times to forgive ourselves. We know God has forgiven us. We know through our baptism we have been redeemed and saved. But it's so hard to live that way, to really recognize that I am a child of God by my baptism. I am forgiven and redeemed. God loves me. Too often, especially for men, we sort of think if we make it to heaven, it's going to be through the back door, right? For women, they tend often to think that somehow God's ashamed of them because of maybe something in their past, that they're not beautiful in his eyes. Those are beautiful truths of our faith, but hard to actually live. So let us pray today that maybe those profound truths of what it means to be a Christian can sink a little deeper into our hearts. a secret to being able to forgive your neighbor is to first start with forgiving yourself. We're here today because we know our Lord has forgiven us. Pope Francis last week said something beautiful in his Wednesday audience. I'd like to put that up on the screen. Pope Francis, when he talks, it's kind of like you're having a conversation at the kitchen table with him as he talks about God. And he said this: God is not frightened by our sins. He is greater than our sins. He is Father. He is love. He is tender. God's not frightened of any one of us here. And he's not frightened by the sins of all the people out there, which we know are many. He came out of love to forgive everyone. And that's the message we need to bring when we leave these doors here. Not that God has judged and condemned everyone, but that God has loved and forgiven everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.